Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Turn with me, if you would, in your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one right in the row in front of you. Matthew 7 is going to be on page 812. If you don't have a Bible of your own, come see me when we're finished this morning, and I'll make sure that you have one to take with you. We are two sermons away. So this sermon today, and then Lord willing, next Sunday, and we will have gone all the way through Jesus's most famous recorded sermon known as the Sermon on the Mount. Yes. Hey, how about a big deep breath there? Let's make sure that we're all alive. On three, one, two, three, and blow it out. And we are in the Sermon on the Yeah, there you are. You're awake. You're with me. The Sermon on the Mount is recorded in Matthew's Gospel in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and and seven, very good, you are with me. It probably took Jesus about 18 to 20 minutes to preach if he was just preaching at a normal pace. I've shared this picture with you before, but just kind of reset the place where they think that Jesus actually spoke these words that we've been looking at, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And man, what an incredible moment that must have been to be at his feet, to listening to the things that he was saying to his disciples and to the crowd that had gathered. When Allison and I were on that trip a couple of years ago at the Holy Land, it was such a formational time for us, a formational few days in that place on the other side of the world from Garland, Texas. And as I think about formational times in my life, formational moments in my life, I think about formational rhythms. You know, you kind of get in a rhythm in your week sometimes, or in a season of life. You kind of do the same thing on the same days, but you can kind of look 3 weeks ahead and you kind of know what you're going to be doing on Tuesday at 2 o'clock because you just get in this rhythm. And I've been thinking about the formational rhythms of my life. And there's a particular day and a particular time of day over about a 6-year window of time that was incredibly formational for me. It was between the years when I was 16 and 22 years old. You're going, when was that? Well, it was 1989 to 1995. And so it was my last 2 years in high school, at Midway High School in Waco, and then throughout my 4 years in college at Baylor University. And you're going, okay, well, what's big about that time? Well, there was a particular day of the week throughout that 6-year period when school was in session in the evening time that was incredibly formational. And you're kind of sitting there going, okay, I wonder what day it is. Well, I mean, maybe Sundays, that was a pretty formational day, and Wednesdays, that's a pretty formational day as far as formational in my faith. And yes, those were very formational days. Wednesdays and Sundays were very formational days as I'm growing in my faith. But I'm telling you, Mondays, you're going, Mondays? Man, who likes Mondays? Man, I couldn't wait for Monday. And not only could I not wait for Monday, I particularly was dialed in to 8 to 10 p.m. on Monday nights throughout the school semester. So not during the summer, not over holiday breaks, but when school was in session, Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m., man, I was so dialed in, locked in to that particular point in the rhythm of my week over a 6-year time. You're going, what happened from 8 to 10 on Monday nights during the school semesters? Well, Monday night from 8 to 10, there was a Bible study that was hosted down on the Baylor campus in 7th and James Baptist Church's auditorium. And the Bible study was called Choice. And it was led by a man named Louis Giglio. And those were some of the most formational Monday nights between 8 and 10 p.m. over that 6-year period of my life that has ever been experienced by me. That the Bible just tended to come alive in a different way as Louis would preach God's word week in and week out. And as I would listen, and I had put my faith, hope, and trust in Jesus in the second grade, but the summer before my junior year in 1989, I felt God calling me to more than what I was doing in my life. And I didn't know exactly what it meant to follow him into vocational ministry, but I thought that, man, God was wanting me to do that. And I didn't know what all that was going to look like, but I was pursuing. I was asking, seeking, knocking, like we talked about last week. And every Monday night for 6 years, between 8 and 10, I was in that place and I was taking notes. I mean, I've got, these are all my notes. I probably missed 5 Monday nights over that 6-year period, and I took every note and I meticulously filed them away. This is the first time I ever went to Choice back in 1989. It was on September the 11th, 1989, and I write right up here to the top. This is something that Louis said that night, and I started. He said, "The ultimate priority with God is that you know him with intimacy." Man, I wrote that down. I thought about that. I prayed through that. And I could just walk through all of the formational moments out of God's word over that 6-year period during Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. And there was about 1,000 other people that were showing up. And it was great. And some nights, when he would preach, there would be just some things that he said that deeply connected to my heart. It's like God knew what I needed to hear on that particular day. Have you ever felt like that, where it's like, man, you're reading my mail, God, and you're just speaking to me? And so when those Mondays happened, the next week, wouldn't happen on that particular week, but the next week, you could go to Choice and you could go back, and they had a table at the back, and you could go pay like $5 and you could get one of these. A tape. I've got so many tapes from Louis Giglio on Choice Monday nights. And man, I would wear these tapes out. See, they didn't have downloads. They didn't have podcasts. It wasn't like an archived website that I could go back to some other time. No, you got a tape. And sometimes the tape would get all jammed up, and you'd have to stick your finger in that little hole right there, and you'd wind it or stick a pencil in there with some tape around it. And man, you're like, gosh, the tape can't break. If the tape breaks, I'll never hear it again. I have to go find another tape. But I'm telling you, man, I listen to so many tapes. And not only did I listen to tapes, I bought a T-shirt. And you're going, you're going to pull out the T-shirt? I don't still have the T-shirt, but my sister had the T-shirt, and that's the T-shirt that I bought at Choice. And it just says right on the T-shirt, "The choice is yours." And that just became my motto. That became my mantra in that season of my life. The choice is yours. Would you just say that with me? The choice is yours. Everything in my life became about the choice in whatever it was that I was doing to either honor and glorify Jesus or not. In everything, all choices, every single choice in my life, from what I was going to eat at lunch, or what I was going to drink after practice, or what I was going to wear or watch or buy or listen to, who I was going to run around with, if there was somebody that I was going to date, or how I was going to approach whatever team sport I was on, how was I going to approach it, how was I going to study, how was I going to approach the teachers that were giving me homework, how was I going to approach my parents, my relationship with my brother, my relationship with my sister. How was I going to, I'm a new driver at this time at 16, how am I going to drive? How am I going to allocate the money that is being given to me? Because I don't have a full-time job, I had a part-time job, but how am I going to approach the part-time job? What am I going to do with the money that I do earn? I'm telling you, whatever the choice was mine. The choice is yours, David. And I was so dialed in that I wanted whatever the choice was that I was being faced with at whatever time of day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, I wanted whatever that choice that I was faced with to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus. So that anybody that was watching my life would be able to go, that person is trying to follow Jesus. Choices. Choices. I ran across some research from this past February. In February 2018, the University of North Carolina Sciences Department researched this question about choices. And the question was this: how many choices does a person make each day? And it was estimated, based upon their research, that the average adult makes about 35,000 remotely conscious choices every single day. Yeah. And each choice, if you want to kind of dig into that choice, each and every choice carries a consequence with it. A good consequence, a bad consequence. Think about that. 35,000 choices every day on average, and each one can be done to glorify Jesus or not. Each one has certain consequences, good or bad. We'd say that to our kids all the time. Your choices have... You say the same thing. You had the same parenting class that we had, which was not a parenting class. We just kind of inherited parenting class. And I remembered my mom and dad saying the same thing. So that's what I'm going to say to them. And that's what my kids are probably going to say to their kids someday. No, they're going to do it totally differently. That's what they tell me. Well, if you're going to say it in a deal, that's kind of a negative thing. Your choices have consequences. That kind of sounds negative. Let's see if we can say it in a more positive way or a different way. How about your choices produce results? Is that better? Yeah, your choices produce results. Now, is it going to produce a good result, or is it going to produce a negative result, a bad result, a favorable or an unfavorable result? A choice, is it going to produce a result that honors and glorifies Jesus or dishonors and robs Jesus of some glory? Well, at the end of the day, all 35,000 of our choices on this particular day, with every single one of them, you know what? The choice is yours. The choice is yours. And this is what Jesus is getting at in these final verses of the Sermon on the Mount that he's wrapping up. Biblical scholar William Hendrickson writes about how in this final part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about making choices on this day for that day. This day for that day. You go, what's that day? That day represents the day when you and I and every person whom God has ever created will cease to breathe air on this planet and will stand before Almighty God. That day. It's called Judgment Day. And so what Jesus is talking about is living a life and making choices on this day in preparation for which day? That day. That day. All 35,000 choices that we make on this day, we will stand before Jesus on that day and give an account. That's what the scripture teaches. And as you're kind of wrapping your head around that, your mind about that, as we're moving into this message today, I want you to think about this question and maybe begin to process it at lunch or over the Thanksgiving week ahead. And here's your question. What would you begin to change if you lived this day for that day? What choices would you begin to make in a different kind of a way on this day that would prepare you for accountability on that day? So we've been working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. If you look back in Matthew chapter 5, in chapter 5 verses 1 through 16, Jesus has described the citizens of the kingdom, their blessedness and their relation to the world. And then when you get to verse 17, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, and if you go from there all the way to where we ended up last week, which is Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, that whole chunk of Jesus' sermon, he's talking about the righteousness which he, as the king, grants to and demands of people if we are going to live as kids of the king. If you and I are going to be a kid of the king, that's what it looks like. That's what righteousness looks like. That's the standard that is meant for those who are going to follow Jesus. And so now we get to chapter 7, verse 13. And if you go to the end of his Sermon on the Mount, which ends in verse 27, Jesus is inviting all the people who were listening on that day and all the people who are listening on this day, and all the people in between who've ever heard the words that Jesus spoke, he is inviting them to make a choice, to make a decision, to make all 35,000 choices that a person makes on an average day, to step toward being identified as a kid of the king and glorifying God in all that we say and all that we do. And those who are listening today, some of you already in your life have made that decision to be a kid of the king. You've made the choice to put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. And so what Jesus invites you to do from this moment forward is to walk with great intentionality. To everything you do, realize I have a choice to make, and it can either honor and glorify the Lord Jesus or not. And so if you've already put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, man, I encourage you, make that choice day by day by day, choice by choice by choice. If you've never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, I'm going to give you the opportunity in a very specific way to do that today. Okay, it's going to come here in a few minutes, and so just know that's coming. If you've already done that, and you're like, oh man, that's great, be praying for those around us in here who haven't done that yet. Now, there's some in this room who just saying that, you're going, I'm not sure if I've done that. I know I did something, but I've got all kinds of doubts of whether or not what I did at an earlier point in my life was real or not. I'm going to give you an opportunity in a few minutes to settle the doubt on this day, so that when we get to that day, there's no question about it. And one thing I know about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, I know that the people in this room are fired up when people take a step toward Jesus. Yes? That is this church, right? And I know that no matter what kind of doubt you may be sitting there having, you are in a room full of people who are for you, who are with you, who want the best for you. And what will happen during the rest of this time is already the enemy is going to be at work in your mind and in your heart to go, just sit still and get through this. And I'm going to encourage you not to do that. As I kind of spit there, because that was like intentional. Amen. There's a moment where everybody in this room will have an opportunity to either encourage somebody to say yes to Jesus, because you've already done it, but somebody else hasn't, or you're not sure and you can settle it today. And when that happens, you will remember on that day, this day. Amen. And the people who have already said yes to Jesus, the scripture calls you a great cloud of witnesses on that day. And you will look back and go, oh, no, I was there. And I remember what happened. I was looking at you. I was encouraging you. When you stood and you came down and you stood next to Pastor David, and then y'all walked and just went to the choir room just for a few minutes to settle it, I saw. So don't let anybody tell you what you did on this day doesn't count for that day.
Now, I need to preach this sermon so we can get to that point, because we've got some stuff to settle. Is everybody okay with that?
Amen.
I'm fired up about this, if you can't tell. I'm already sweating. I'm working it up here. I mean, does anybody have that Stranglehold song that we were talking about a few weeks ago? No, never mind. Don't go there. If you're listening online, you're going, Stranglehold. It's online. Listen to it. Or don't. But Jesus had something to say about making choices. Let's read it together in verses 13 to 23. He says this. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On which day? On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Listen to what Jesus says. And then I will declare to them, I never what? I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in this part of his Sermon on the Mount, he is reminding each of his listeners, the choice is yours. And you're going to have thousands of choices each day. So choose wisely and choose deliberately and choose to live lives, Jesus says, that gives me, the King, great glory. Make every choice. Live every day with discernment from a heart of gold. Live this day for, say it with me, that day, that judgment day. Because you get to choose which way you're going to go in your life. You get to choose if we're going to be who God created us to be, who God created you to be, desires you to be as kids of the King, kids of the King who are living this day for that day. Living lives that go beyond some golden rule to actually living with hearts of gold that we talked about last week. Remember, Jesus has been talking throughout this whole sermon, and it's not about a bunch of rules to keep. It's about a heart to have. That's the essence. That's the heart behind his Sermon on the Mount. Because Jesus knows rules without relationship is going to lead to rebellion and walking away from God and choosing choices that don't glorify God, that are all about self. And Jesus is inviting us into a relationship with God the Father through himself, through Jesus Christ, the one, please hear me, please make sure the audio level is up, the one and only Savior of the world. There are not many ways to God. There is one way. Jesus clarified it in John 14, 6. He said, just for anybody taking notes, I am the way and the truth and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus of Nazareth said. the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. See, what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying every way but God's way leads to the same fate.
Can we just take that out loud note together and use our lungs again on three? One, two, three.
Every way but God's way leads to the same fate. And from here in verse 13 of chapter 7 to the end of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus repeatedly points out two things. The necessity of choosing whether to follow God or not. And the fact that really, amongst all the 35,000 choices, it really comes down to about two choices. Two choices, and only two. Let me show you what I'm talking about as we walk through here. Look at 13 and 14. Look at verse 13 and 14 again. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is what? It's narrow. The way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." So how many gates are there? There are two gates. Did you notice that? Verse 13. The narrow gate and the wide gate. And with both gates, guess what? The choice is yours. The choice is yours. He says there's two ways in verses 13 and 14. There's an easy and wide way or a narrow and hard way. And with both ways, guess what? The choice is yours. There are two destinations according to verse 13 and 14. Destruction or life. And with both destinations, guess what? Say it with me. The choice is yours. There are two groups in verses 13 and 14. The many and the few. And with both groups that you could be a part of, guess what? Say it with me. The choice is yours. Look in verses 15 and 16. In verses 15 and 16, Jesus identifies the kind of person that you and I need to be careful about regarding who you and I are going to listen to, who we are going to allow to shape us, be formed by, and how to determine who these people are. Look with me. Jesus says, "Beware of who? False prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them." He's telling you. "You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" The answer to that is what? No. No. And so if Jesus is telling us to beware of false prophets, it must mean that there also are prophets who tell the what? They tell the truth. So there are two kinds of prophets, false prophets and true prophets. The false ones will try to trick you, try to mislead you. The true ones will speak truth to you and keep pointing you to the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And whatever prophet you're going to end up listening to, guess what? The choice is yours. The choice is yours. You go, how can you tell again? Well, Jesus says, examine their fruit. It's what he goes on to talk about in verses 17 to 20. He's saying, look at the fruit that's growing on the branches of their life. Examine their lives. When someone shows you who they are and tells you who they are, listen to them. Look at their life. Observe. Get good and trusted counsel. If you're having a difficult time discerning, is this a true or a false prophet? And when it comes to who you listen to and who shapes you and who leads you and who informs you how to live your life, say it with me, the choice is yours. And look what Jesus says in verses 21 to 23. In verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So right here, again, Jesus is telling us there are two kinds of people who profess faith in him as Lord. Those with a sincere faith and those with a false faith. Which one are you? You know what? The choice is yours. And I know what you're asking. You're sitting there going, how can I know which one I am? Jesus anticipated that question right there. How can I know which one I am? He says it right there in verse 21. The one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's the one whose faith is sincere. He does not say the one who knows the most about me. Men and women, we are educated beyond our level of obedience. But please hear me. Obeying what Jesus says is not what saves you. Let me say it again. Obeying what Jesus says is not what saves you. We are saved according to what the Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Amen. And when we put our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, something inside of us changes. We move from death to life, is what it says in Ephesians. When we call on the name of the Lord Jesus for salvation, this is what not all churches preach right here. When we repent of our sin.
That's right.
You go, what does that mean? That means we call sin what it is. It's anything we say, think, or do that God says you shouldn't say, think, or do. It's a black or white thing. It either leads you toward God or away from God. And whatever leads you away from God is sin. And the scripture says, Jesus, the King says, you've got to repent of that and change your mind and go in a new direction. When you call on the name of the Lord for salvation, as you repent of your sin, our old life is put to death and we are raised to walk in a brand new life with a new mind, a new heart, and a new direction. That heart of gold we've been talking about. Something changes. We change. We become part of the resurrection people to live in a brand new way. We begin to make choices in a totally new way. We begin to live, are you ready? Say it with me. This day for which day?
That day.
That day. You go, how can you tell? Are you being obedient to what Jesus has said when it comes to how to follow him in your life? See, if you've said a prayer or kind of parroted a prayer in your past, but there's nothing that's changed about who you are, there's no evidence that you are growing into and becoming the kind of person that Jesus is describing in his Sermon on the Mount. Today, men and women, is a great day to reevaluate who truly is your Lord. Please hear what Jesus says again in verses 22 to 23. He says, on which day? On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. What's he saying here? He's saying what I wrote down on September the 11th, 1989. The ultimate priority with God is that you know Him with intimacy. It's what Jesus says in John 17, verse 3. This is eternal life, that you know me. That has huge implications on this day, and guess what? On that day and every day in between. That you know Him. That you know Him. Men and women, Jesus is not talking about a bunch of rules to keep. He's talking about a heart to have. He's saying following me goes way beyond a golden rule. It goes to living with a heart of gold. Because He knows that rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And the only way that you can have that kind of heart of gold is when you have a relationship, an exclusive relationship with the one true God whose name is Jesus. Going, wow, that's heavy. Yeah, it is. So let me put it on the bottom shelf so that everybody can understand. Anybody know what this is right here? Mickey ears. Let me just put them on because that'll be fun. Go ahead and take your phones out. M-I-C.
K-U-R-N-O-U-S-S.
See, you know the song. You know the song. Do you know it's his 90th birthday?
No.
Mickey's, he doesn't look one day older, does he? Than it was when he was drawn 90 years ago. And you know, you can be the biggest Mickey Mouse fan ever. My wife is a Disney travel planner. She loves Mickey Mouse. Our family loves Disney, loves Mickey Mouse. She is a Disney travel planner. That means she helps people go and have a great time. It's great. It's fun. It's a good time. We've had the privilege to go. So much fun. Lots of good times. She loves helping people plan trips down to the Magic Kingdom. And I'm telling you, you can be a fan of Disney, a fan of Mickey Mouse. You can go to all the movies. You can wear all the Mickey Mouse ears. These will light up if you get close enough to the Magic Kingdom. And they start playing the songs, the ears will light up. So fun. You can know all about Mickey Mouse. You can know all about Disney. You can even travel down to Disney and just go hang out, just kind of be a part of the vibe. You know, just kind of be on the premises. You can go and watch the fireworks from outside and see them and hear the music and just kind of get your Disney groove on. But I'm telling you something, if you don't have one of these, you can't get in the kingdom. And this right here is called a magic band. And unless you have a magic band, they will not let you in. It doesn't matter if your parents went before you and you're there now. And you're like, man, I've met Mickey Mouse. Look at this picture I've got with Mickey Mouse. Do you have one of these? You don't have a magic band? I'm sorry. You can stand outside and have a good time, but you can't go in. There's a narrow gate, and you got to have one of these if you're going in. Now, feel free to enjoy everything around you, but at the end of the day, if you don't have a magic band, you're not going in. It's an exclusive and a narrow group that only enters through the exclusive and narrow way. And if you don't have a magic band, I'm sorry. And Jesus says something similar in His Sermon on the Mount. He says, you can call me Lord. Lord, you can be a fan. You can wear the t-shirt. You can wear the WWJD bracelet. You can show up to the premises. You can show up to church. You can do some good things, give some money. You can be born into a Christian family. You can know all about me. You can keep all the rules. But if you miss the relationship, I'm sorry, I never knew you. If you've never had a heart exchange from the one that is sinful and separates you from God to the heart of gold that draws you close to Him, I'm sorry, I never knew you. Because what Jesus is saying about in the Sermon on the Mount is this: it's about a heart to have over rules to keep. He says, every way but God's way leads to the same fate. And you know what? The choice is yours. Make sure you get in. And you're going, get into heaven? Well, yeah. But really what I'm talking about is get into the relationship. Because it's about this day that leads to that day. And getting in means you become a kid of the King and help usher in that kingdom come and His will being done right here on earth as it is in heaven. It's not just about that day. It's about this day and every day in between. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to invite Dan and the band to come and just get ready, because I want to invite you to do something. If you've never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, I'm going to invite you to do that in just a second. I'm going to invite you to stand right where you are. And you're like, stand. You're not in a room full of people that are ready to throw a stone at you. You're in a room full of people that are ready to cheer you on. And if you've never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, you can do that on this day. And if you are having doubts, you know, I had doubts growing up sometimes. And my pastor always said this: your Father in heaven is not sitting there with His arms crossed going, well, we'll see. He said, David, your Father in heaven is thrilled to make you secure. Yes. Yes. And if you have a 99.99999% feeling that, yeah, what I did when I was 8 was probably sincere, but I've got this little point, one of doubt. He goes, man, God doesn't get offended when you want to draw near to Him. You make sure. And if you need to make sure, do it today, this day. You go, man, I've been coming to this church for 30 years. If I stand up, everybody's going to go, what's up with him? Nobody's going to say that. If anybody says that to you, meet me at the bike racks afterwards. I'm fighting you. No, everybody in here is going, it's on this day. Is there anybody that's not going to support anybody who says, I want to make sure today? Is there anybody? Carolyn Sue says, you're going to get shot if you don't think that. I'm with her. And I'm standing behind her. She's carrying. No. You're in a place of grace. You're in a place that's for you, not against you.
That's right.
Amen.
You're in a place that wants to celebrate what God's doing on this day, because He's already said we're going to celebrate on that day. And so I'm just going to invite you, if you've never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and you want to do that today, would, on the count of three here in just a second, would you just stand? Or if you are unsure that what you did in the past was sincere and you want to nail it down today, I'm going to invite you to stand. So on three, if you want to make sure today, I'm going to invite you to stand and then come stand right here with me. We're going to go to the choir room for like 5 minutes. And then we'll come back in and continue worshiping. So if you want to make sure, if you want to put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus today, you've never done it before or you're unsure, but you want to make sure today. On three, if you want to make that decision, just stand up. Not with every head bowed and every eye closed, with every head up and everybody looking around, so that we can know, hey, I was there on this day when you did what you did. And we're going to celebrate it on that day and every day in between and throughout eternity. So if you want to do that, on three, you just stand right where you're at. One, two, three. Anybody? Awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. Awesome. Would you come stand with me, Jerry? Come stand with me, Jerry. Dale, come stand with me, Dale. Come stand with me. Come stand with me, James. Hey, congregation, if you would you just stand where you're at? Because we're going to worship. Anybody else want to come and stand with me? Anybody else want to come and stand with me? Because we're going to go for just a moment. Yeah, Sean, awesome. Anybody else? Glenn, come on. Anybody else? That's awesome. Anybody else want to come with us? Anybody else want to come with us? Awesome. Come on. Come on. Awesome. Hey, man, how are you? Man, it's good to see you today. Hey, parents or grandparents, if you've got a younger one up here, if you want to come with them, that would be great. Anybody else? Come on. Awesome. Anybody else? Come on. Anybody else? And count down from 10, and then we're going to walk out, okay? 10, 9,
count slow.
8, count slow. 7, anybody else? 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, anybody else? 1.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.